Welcome to the Arrowhead Fanatic Podcast.
With my husband.
And my father, Jason Thomas.
Wow, Chiefs Kingdom. Wow. We are going to the Super Bowl. The Chiefs won the AFC Championship against the Titans a couple Sundays ago. It was amazing. I'm sure all of you guys out there all celebrated in your own ways, all cheered in your own ways. I was at home with my wife and daughter. My wife just happened to step out of the room when Mahomes went on his crazy run for the touchdown right before the half. And me and my daughter were going crazy. And my wife was running back into the room asking what happened. And it was just a great moment that we'll share for forever. And that's one of the things that I love about football. Now, you know, that is in the past. The Super Bowl's ahead of us. The San Francisco 49ers are a great team, and they present some very unique challenges for the Chiefs. They're kind of the team, you know, I've been thinking the Chiefs might have to play all along, and I was kind of hoping not, because they do present these unique challenges. They're kind of opposite sides of a coin, you could say. The Chiefs will be great at something on offense, and the Niners will be great at stopping that on defense, and vice versa. It's just going to be a chess match that should be fun to watch if my heart doesn't give out and my stomach doesn't explode with ulcers before the end of it. Now, you know, I'm the type of person that can overanalyze anything, and I've been thinking about this game, of course, for over a week straight. And, you know, I think it does come down to some simple type things. But I do want to hit on quite a few different things. I've got some stuff bookmarked from Twitter that kind of, you know, ideas I wanted to touch on here. And then, you know, there were some other things I wanted to hit just statistically that will fit right in with the Twitter stuff. The first thing I've been seeing a lot of, you know, how Patrick Mahomes has struggled against cover three over his first 2 years. And it is true that statistically his passing numbers haven't been best against cover three. A lot of that, I think, has to do with the fact that we played the Chargers four times, and the Chargers secondary is phenomenal, and they got a good pass rush. San Francisco runs a very similar style of defense. Their defensive coordinator and the Chargers defensive coordinator worked together at one time, but the Niners pass rush is much better. I think defensively it comes down to their pass rush. And then their secondary is nowhere near as good as the Chargers' secondary when healthy. So here's a stat from Scott Kazmar on Twitter. Mahomes has started and finished 34 games in his career. Seven times he's been held under 260 passing yards. Four of those seven games were against the Chargers. That's a true stat. I was just looking at it. The Chiefs won three of those four games. The game they didn't win was the Thursday night game. That was really strange because the Chiefs put up all those points in the first half, just kind of put it in cruise control and ended up losing late in that game, and they didn't even get 300 total yards as an offense. That game just had a weird vibe to it, and I don't hold a lot of stock with it. But I wanted to point out something because, like I say, the Chiefs won those four games against the Chargers. Won three of the four. The three they won pretty convincingly. They didn't have much trouble scoring. And yeah, Mahomes didn't have the greatest numbers, but one thing, the three games that the Chiefs won, their running backs all went over 100 yards. You don't really hear anybody talking about the Chiefs running backs in this game, but it's going to be an important part of this game against the cover three, because, you know, the Niners are probably not going to blitz a ton. They're one of the lowest blitzing teams in football. So, you know, if your offensive line can do the work, they can create some holes up there. Now, the Niners do have some super fast linebackers, but they were not that great statistically against the run here. Let me look this up. they were 23rd in the league, averaging 4.5 yards per rushing attempt. So, you know, the Chiefs were actually worse than that. But, you know, the Niners, just like the Chiefs, are a team that focuses much more against stopping the pass than stopping the run. And I think that's an underrated area for the Chiefs going into this game. Nick Jacobs had an interesting stat that kind of goes with this. He listed all the cover three teams the Chiefs have played in the last 2 years and the points scored. So in 2018, the Chiefs scored 38 against the Chargers, 38 against San Francisco, 30 against Jacksonville, 28 against the Chargers, that's the game they lost, and 31 against Seattle. And then this year, 40 against Jacksonville, 24 against the Chargers, and 31 against the Chargers. Now, in that second game against the Chargers, that week 17, Damian Williams went off. He only had 12 carries, but he had that long, explosive run. You know, I think that's important in this game because I think we're going to need a couple explosive plays in the run game. I think we're going to need some of just the 4 or 5 yard plays, which Damian Williams, that's not exactly his strength. He's sometimes more of a boom or bust guy, but you know, he's been running so well in the playoffs that, you know, I think he's really got his mojo going right now. You know, the Niners do have some really, really fast linebackers. You know, they can cover ground, but Damian Williams, you know, he's a very fast running back. He runs in the 4.4s, so if you can create a hole for him, he can do some things. And, you know, another part of this offense, that there's going to be a lot of short passes in this game because the cover three the Niners run, it is basically designed to keep you from getting big plays. There was another stat by Next Gen Stats talking where the Niners have only given up 10 passing plays of over 20 yards or more this season. So that's, you know, about one every two games. And, of course, Mahomes, in the 2 years he's been in the league, has the most of those. So it's just that yin and yang I was talking about. But they try to keep everything in front of them, and they will give you short passes. And, you know, the Chargers were the same way. We would run a ton of screens against the Chargers. You know, I expect Reed to have some interesting screen plays, some interesting RPO-type things for the Niners. You know, one reason that defense has worked a little bit against the Chiefs is because Kelce, Robinson, even Watkins sometimes, they don't always catch the ball. They get the drops occasionally. And when you're picking up 4 or 5 yards a pass, one drop can kill a drive. So it's going to be very important in this game, especially early on, that the Chiefs receivers are catching those short passes, securing them, and that, you know, the Chiefs are consistently moving the ball down the field. You know, and we don't give the ball back to the Niners without scoring a touchdown, because we want to get up in this game, right? We want to force the Niners to not be able to run all the time. We want to make them a little bit more one-dimensional. Not that Garoppolo isn't a good passer. He's better than he's getting credit for by a lot of people out there, but he's not Patrick Mahomes, and their receiving core isn't the Chiefs' receiving core. Now, I do think in the passing game that, you know, on San Francisco's side, it's all about their pass rush, because honestly, if they don't get to Patrick Mahomes quickly, he will eat him alive, because Richard Sherman, as good of a corner as he is, he relies way too much on his smarts, and he doesn't really have a ton of athleticism anymore. And when the pass rush isn't getting home for the Niners, he can be beat deep. He got beat deep by Tyreek Hill in the matchup last year, and it's going to happen again this year if they get the time. He's so much slower than Tyreek Hill, it's not funny. And Sherman always stays on the one side of the field. He doesn't move with the receivers, so the Chiefs can put whatever matchup they want over there with him. But I know that, you know, in that cover three, he gets to bail out backwards. you know, and kind of get a head start moving back, and he still won't be able to stay with Tyreek Hill. So I think the Chiefs are going to do some interesting things with Hill and Hardman lined up side by side, forcing the safety over the top of Sherman to choose between Hardman and Hill. And I think they're going to hit two or three of those deep passes. And I also think that the Niners pass rush is going to get home sometimes, you know, and with the speed of their linebackers, it's going to be much harder for Mahomes to leak out of the pocket and make, you know, all the crazy plays that he likes to make. I'm not saying that he won't make some, but they're just going to make it much more difficult for him. You know, neither one of these teams, crazy enough, even though the Chiefs have 45 sacks on the season and San Francisco has 48, neither one of them have a double-digit sack guy. Both teams just kind of get sacks from everybody. You know, with the Chiefs, Chris Jones and Frank Clark lead the way, and with, you know, the Niners, it's Bosa, and then I think Buckner on the inside. Let me look that up real quick so I don't misspeak, but I think he was right there with them. And according to Pro Football Reference, the Chiefs actually had quite a few more hurries than the Niners did. Quarterback hits, not hurries, but quarterback hits. And it is DeForest Buckner had 7.5 sacks. Armstead had 10. Sorry, so Armstead did get to double digits. He got to 10 sacks, but he's the highest sack total on either team. So Buckner, Armstead, Bosa, you know, that's a good front. And, of course, they're going to be bringing D Ford in obvious passing rushing circumstances. So there is that. Now, Next Gen Stats had a really cool stat about the Chiefs' offensive line and just about how good it has been this whole season and how it's gotten better and better as the season went on, especially when Wisniewski came in. You know, they've led the league in amount of time for Patrick Mahomes to throw without pressure. Now, you know, a lot of that has to do with the line, and a lot of it has to do with Patrick Mahomes. He's stepping up in the pocket, making throws when he needs to, and he's not really getting out of the pocket unless he's forced to, and then he's been doing some good things there. And, you know, quarterback pressure is a very interesting stat. We know that Alex Smith was pressured heavily when he was the Chiefs quarterback. I believe his name is Eric Eager for PFF. He wrote a really interesting article, I'm sure you can find online, I don't have it right in front of me, about how quarterback pressures are actually a quarterback stat, not an offensive line stat, because it has a lot more to do with what the quarterback does than the offensive line. And you can really see that in the difference between Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes. You know, when Mahomes steps up in the pocket, you know, they just kind of have that feel for what's going on, the eyes in the back of their head type of thing, and he really does have that. And it's going to be important in this game. Now, you know, I do think the Chiefs will be able to move the ball and score on San Francisco. I think it's going to be very tough at times. I think, you know, those short passes that the Niners are going to give you because they like to get deep in their cover three zone and keep everything in front of them, they're going to give up some of those short, you know, five-yard passes. We got to catch those. I'd really like to see the Chiefs break a couple of them, honestly. Damian Williams to break a long run. That will take a lot of pressure off of this offense. And, of course, you know, I expect a lot of misdirection, a lot of screen game to try to tire out this Niners defensive line so the Chiefs can attack deeper and deeper. And then one thing about Richard Sherman, when you do get good protection for your quarterback, he does like to bail out when he thinks you're going deep because he's, you know, one of the slowest corners in the league. So he gets, you know, he doesn't play right up on the receiver in those situations. He'll stay back and then he'll immediately turn and start running. So somebody like Tyreek Hill can stop, get the comeback to the sideline, get that 10, 12 yard passing game. And I think we're really going to see that play, you know, a handful of times in this game, whether it's Hill or Hardman or Watkins. I mean, all of them have a major speed advantage over Sherman. And honestly, the rest of the secondary outside of Sherman, I think, is just kind of average. You know, I don't think it's really that special. Now, the linebackers are special for the Niners. Fred Warner, Quan Alexander, and I'm forgetting the other one right now, but they are special athletes. And, you know, it's going to be a real challenge for Travis Kelce to get open. One thing I did want to mention, I saw something earlier in the week about how the Niners are actually the second highest scoring team in the NFL this year. They've averaged over 29 points a game. The Chiefs are fourth highest. Fourth highest, I believe. And on the flip side, the Chiefs have actually allowed less points on defense than the 49ers. You know, that stat is a little bit misleading, and I want to tell you why. Because the 49ers as a team faced quite a few more drives than the Chiefs, and they had quite a few more drives on offense than the Chiefs. So just looking at the points total is pretty skewed. They had 14 more defensive drives and 21 more offensive drives than the Chiefs. So points per drive, which is a much more accurate stat, is in the Chiefs' favor on offense. They averaged about 0.2 more points per drive. And same thing for the Niners' defense. They averaged a little over 0.24 points less per drive than the Chiefs. So that fits the Chiefs' offense against the Niners' defense narrative a little bit better, even though both teams are no slouches on the other side of the ball. The Niners' offense, you know, it's not better than the Chiefs' offense. And, of course, the Chiefs' defense isn't better than the Niners' defense as a whole, even though I'm hoping in this game it doesn't work out that way. So I've talked about the Niners' defense, you know, a little bit about how I think the Chiefs are going to attack it early with the short passes. And then, you know, the run game and hopefully open things up. I'm sure Reed's going to have four or five plays that just blow our imagination away. And this same goes for the 49ers coach, Shanahan. He's an offensive genius, too. Both teams use a lot of motion, a lot of window dressing. They try to confuse the other teams. The only difference is the Chiefs do that to pass and the Niners do that to run. But because the Niners do that so wonderfully, their play action is just sick. Similar to Tannehill's numbers with the Titans, even though the run games are very different between the Titans and Niners, the play action worked well for both. 49er, you know, Emmanuel Sanders is kind of their number one wide receiver. He's definitely their possession receiver. He's a little bit older, still, you know, an explosive guy. They got Deebo Samuels, who's their kind of run after the catch, explosive wide receiver. They got Richie James, who's their special team guy, but he's caught, you know, a handful of passes this year, and they've all been deep bombs. So he's a guy, you know, if he comes out on the field, the Chiefs, whoever's deep, has to really watch him. And then, of course, they've got George Kittle, who's, you know, crazy explosive as a tight end. I don't think he runs routes as good as Travis Kelce, but once he gets the balls in his hand, that's crazy. Kind of funny, but crazy. Once he gets the ball in his hand, he's better than Kelce is now. Kelce's, you know, a little bit slower, a little bit less explosive than he was when he was Kittle's age at 25. And Kittle's got a great tackle breaking ability, and he's got great vision as a runner to go with. You know, he's still got his top end speed. Now, since he's not as good of a route runner as Kelce, they kind of do some funky things to get him the ball. Some misdirections, you know, slipping him out of these, you know, play action pass looks. That's one reason why I think Matthew will have a lot of the responsibility to cover him. I've heard a lot of talk about different ways the Chiefs could cover Kittle, but I think that's going to be one of the main options, if not the main option, because I think Matthew is smart enough to be able to read some of the Niners' offensive keys. And, you know, hopefully, I don't think you shut down Kittle completely, but if you can keep him to, you know, 6 catches for 70 yards or something like that, you have definitely done your work. I'm going to get a drink of this monster here. As you can tell, my mind is bouncing all over the place. I am excited about this game. One other thing that the Niners do with Kittle, he's a phenomenal run blocker. You know, I know people try to compare Kelce's run blocking and pass blocking to Kittle, and it's not close. Kelce can do some things, get out in space, block some safety, some corners, you know, get in the way of a linebacker, and he does that very well. But he's not somebody you're going to leave in at the end of the line that's just going to overpower a defensive end, which is what Kittle has done at times. But the Niners, with Kittle and with their offensive line, they give some odd spacing between their offensive linemen and tight end, and that presents problems for the defensive line because the offensive line just gets out wider. And that opens gaps for the running backs. And all the Niners running backs, you know, they've got that elite speed. So you definitely don't want them hitting those gaps to the outside at full speed. It's going to be very important for Clark and Terrell Suggs or Passanio if he's in there. But I think this could be a heavy Suggs game to set those edges and make that running back stop to find the hole that he's going to go through. You know, I think we're going to have Hitchens and Damian Wilson in there. And if those linebacker or if those Niners running backs hit the hole at full speed, you know, they're going to have some trouble and the Niners are going to bust a few of them just because they're faster than our linebackers. But if the ends can get out there, make them stutter step, make them choose which hole they want to go through instead of just hitting a wide open hole like has been for the last couple weeks for those running backs, it'll make a big difference. And the Niners don't generally run straight up the gut that much, even though they use a fullback. And that's another thing the defense has to, keep in mind, because Juszczyk, you know, they pass to him sometimes. And, you know, with all these different play action looks, he can get wide open. I know Jimmy Garoppolo had some crazy analytical-like numbers right up there with Patrick Mahomes. And a lot of that has to do, you know, in yards per attempt and stuff because the play action guys are so wide open. You know, I don't think he makes just a ton of contested throws because he hasn't had to. And that's going to be something the Chiefs defense has to force him into doing because he did have 13 interceptions this season. The Niners did turn over the ball a lot more than the Chiefs, so, or at least a significant amount more. Now I'm going to jump in another direction here real quick, like, you know, I like to do. And talk about the team's special teams just a little bit because, you know, I don't know much about the 49ers special teams. I know that the Chiefs special teams seems not quite as good as it's been the last few years, but some of the returns and stuff have looked better towards the end of the season. You know, they did give up a block punt for a touchdown against the Texans. Tyreek Hill had that fumble. And then, let's see, against the Titans, they gave up the fake punt for a first down. So those are all kind of negative plays. But I thought I would look at the special teams through the lens of expected points added. So that, you know, expected points added is it's pretty simple. How many points does special teams add or take away per game by this formula here? And The Niners have actually had one more negative graded game through the season and the playoffs than the Chiefs. So, you know, their special teams hasn't been phenomenal. But when you look at it, the Niners, the negative games they had aren't that negative. You know, they're usually at worst 3 to 5 points negative. And then on the positive side, they're kind of the same way. Whereas the Chiefs, when you look at their expected points added by special teams, you know, they've got some numbers in there. You know, they've had about half of their season has been negatively graded special teams games, and they had a negative almost 14 points in a game, that Lions game earlier this year that somehow the Chiefs pulled out. The last game against the Titans, they had negative 10 points on special teams, expected points. You know, the Texans game, they were negative 7 points. So it's very important that the Chiefs have a positive special teams game, because they've also had games where the Oakland Raiders, the second game, they had positive 12 points special teams. The last week against the season, over 7 points. So it's, you know, the Chiefs are much more boom or bust on our special teams, and I'd really like to see them boom in this game. Let's see, on third down, I was looking at some of the Niners stats, and it was a little bit surprising because, I don't know, I guess in my head I thought with the play action game they've got in the run game, they're probably a very dominant red zone team, and that's not the truth. They've had 62 red zone attempts, and they've scored touchdowns on 33 of those. That puts them at 53.2%. That's 21st in the league. And, you know, it's funny, that's actually a spot that the Chiefs have really struggled in, too. They've converted 27 of 50 for 54%, and they're 20th in the league. But, of course, in the playoffs, that's the area where the Chiefs have improved greatly, is scoring points in the red zone. And that's where I think, you know, some of those trick plays on both sides, I think they very well could be red zone-type trick plays. Because, you know, that's where both teams need to be really efficient. Now, on defense, as great as the Niners have been on defense this year, it's not a good red zone defense. They've allowed touchdowns on 24 of 40 attempts. That's 22nd in the league. And the Chiefs, on the other hand, are a very good red zone defense. They've allowed touchdowns on just a little over half, which puts them 9th in the league. So, oh, that's just an area to watch in this game. I mean, everybody knows in every game, it's important to make sure that you're getting touchdowns and not field goals. It's important to not turn the ball over. The Chiefs need to have no turnovers in this game, and I think they have the opportunity to get a couple from the Niners. My one worry is that this Niners pass rush is phenomenal, and as good as the Chiefs' offensive line is, I think they're going to get home. And their secondary is going to crash down hard on these receivers. And, you know, they're, I think, going to have an opportunity to pick off a couple passes from Mahomes in this game. Now, it doesn't mean it'll happen, but I think the opportunity is going to be there. You know, another stat I saw this week was that the Niners haven't blitzed much this season. Even adding their two playoff games to their season stats, they're still just 25th in the league on blitzing. But the guy that they've blitzed got to the quarterback 71% of the time. So when they blitzed, they were phenomenal at it. Just another thing to keep your eye on. You know, I think I've hit on a lot of what I wanted to. I'm kind of scrolling through here to see if there's anything that I missed. I'm not really seeing anything. I don't know if you guys like to get on YouTube or Twitter or whatever, but there's a rapper from Kansas City named Mac Lethal that put a rap out for the Chiefs in the Super Bowl here, and it is actually a pretty cool thing if you want to look that up. And, you know, really, I think that's about all I got. I did see a couple more crazy stats here just to throw out. Mitchell Schwartz in the postseason, according to PFF, he's had 90 pass-blocking snaps. He's only give up one pressure. The Chiefs in the second half of this season, you know, the last eight games, here's how it went. During this eight-game winning streak the Chiefs are on, they've trailed for a total of 16 seconds in the second half of these eight games. That's how dominant they've been, really, in the second quarter, and then they haven't given up these leads. And then I believe it was Sunday Night Football, posted QBs in their first four playoff games. It's been trending around Twitter. Brady in his first four playoff games, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. Elway, 4 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Favre, 5 TDs, 4 picks. Manning, 5 TDs, 3 picks. Montana, 7 TDs, 5 picks. Mahomes, 11 touchdowns, no interceptions. Every time I start to doubt or think a little bit too much about this game analytically, I just remember that we have Patrick Mahomes, and the dude has never lost a game by more than 7 points. There's no way the Chiefs are not in this football game. They are going to have a chance to win this game because they have a very good team and because they have Patrick Mahomes. You know, I started to feel a little nervous before the Titans game last, I guess a couple Sundays ago. And I was pacing, getting nervous, thinking about all the things that could happen. And I got to watching a Patrick Mahomes hype video from the 2018 season. I believe it was put on there early in the season. It just calmed me and got me so pumped and ready for that game. I just watched that video over and over. It's pretty amazing to have Patrick Mahomes as the Chiefs quarterback. I definitely don't think we deserve it. One other thing I wanted to touch on, and just something to watch for in this game, lastly here, is that, you know, the Chiefs defense has kind of felled out opponents in these two playoff games. And in the first quarter, they've struggled against both of them. I think, honestly, that the 49ers are going to have a game plan for the first half and a game plan for the second half. I think there's going to be a filling out period for the defense in both halves. I do expect the 49ers to score quite a bit, and I expect the Chiefs will have to make adjustments in both halves. In the Niners game against the Packers, you know, all season long, the Niners have been primarily an outside zone team. And in that Packers game, they unleashed basically every kind of offensive line blocking scheme you possibly could in that game. And they dominated the Packers because the Packers weren't ready for it. You know, the Chiefs got to look at that for 2 weeks. But it definitely makes the Niners offense very hard to read and very hard to key in on, because you can't just trust what your eyes see the offensive linemen doing. You know, it slows you down for an extra second. And that's why you know, the Niners wanted those, you know, super explosive running backs. I think in my heart that as long as both teams don't come out really gun-shy, or not necessarily gun-shy, but just nervous, dropping passes, and, you know, sometimes you see that in the Super Bowl where the game doesn't really start until mid-second quarter. But if both teams come out playing the way they can play, I think this is a very high-scoring game. I think it could be similar to, say, the Rams and Chiefs last year, where, you know, the Rams are supposed to have this, you know, great, talented defense, and the Chiefs just found a way to score, and they did too. You know, I think this game for our defense is less about shutting down the Niners completely, which would be a tall task, but it's going to be more about getting the stops when you need the stops, when you have to have them, So I'm going to take the Chiefs 38 to 34 in this Super Bowl. Super Bowl live. That's my final prediction. I hope the Chiefs beat them by like 30 and that they just humiliate this Niners team. But, you know, I don't think they will, because I think the Niners are pretty well coached and solid team. Thanks for listening to all my rambling this week, and go Chiefs. I know that I am really lame and that the podcast is never over when I actually say that it is over, but I want to end every podcast this season just by saying that the Chiefs are winning the Super Bowl this year.